Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I said to start the show that, you know, I think if I were to classify this game as anything, it is a affirm or negate game. Like, this game is an opportunity at home against a team that on paper is a lesser team, that is 0-2, so they're a lesser record team as well, that you can either take the step forward from what you did against Jacksonville and maybe get a good win, especially considering the Browns are 6.5-point favorites on FanDuel, or it's the negate game that takes you back and everybody has a half step back even if you win.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this game too, Nick, is just the timing of it, because last year, week three was kind of the week where we thought everything was kind of turning the corner. Like, we talk about how the first couple weeks of the season tend to sort of be this extension of the preseason, ironing things out. Even Kevin Stefanski's talked about how there's a feeling out process that goes on early in the season. And I think we've seen that now in week one and week two, where week one looked like a complete disaster. And then week two, they corrected a lot of those things and they looked better, but there's still room for progress. And so week three last year sort of became the week where everybody finally like hit the ground running. Everything was in sync. Everything was good. You scored a lot of points. You blew out a team that you were significantly better than and should have been better than. Deshaun played one of his best games in a Browns uniform in that game. And we all thought like, okay, this is turning the corner. This is the Deshaun we're going to get the rest of the way. And then we obviously find out about the shoulder injury and everything that transpired after that. And we're hoping that doesn't happen in this instance. But it's like the perfect timing again for a team that I look at and say, on paper, you are significantly better than, and you should be favored by the 6.5 points that Vegas is giving you. And now it's time to go out and take care of business. So I do think this is almost the game that can sort of set the tone for, yes, what's ahead, but also like the rest of the season in terms of like, okay, you've ironed out a lot of the kinks, and there'll still be some of those things, especially as they shuffle offensive linemen and guys get back healthy with Conklin, Wills, whatever. But yeah, like this feels like the game where they can sort of take that turn and build the momentum for the rest of the season.
I will say, and I said this in the first segment, I think stacking wins early in the season has become a cliche. We said that last year. I've never said somebody who's like, I think they've got the ability or the latitude to, you know, start 0-4. Like, anyone's ever said that. But
unless you're the Bengals, I guess.
Yeah, you know, that's
because somehow they always start 0-2 and then find a way out of it.
And apparently, the Ravens this year. Actually, it's funny you say that, but pretty much every other team in the AFC North has shown, yeah, fast starts are nice, but you can start 3-6 and still end up in a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
At some point,
I'm not
saying this year. Well, no, I was actually going the other way. At some point, I think that is going to become a hurdle, Kevin. You know, like, Kevin's Mr. September in his career. That's probably his best month, and even early October. At some point, you are going to have that, well, you're 1-3 heading into October. And I think every coach at some point, even if they're the guy that gets a team ready early in the season, has to kind of to pan out with that. But Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin track the season episode by episode during their podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. Subscribe to this podcast now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So while you and I are having this conversation about this team and where they are, I know we talked in pretty in-depth yesterday about the Amari Cooper situation, but we had Albert Breer on at the end of the show. We didn't get to this piece of sound because, well, the Guardians had just clinched a playoff spot and we were kind of knee-deep in that.
Oh, is that a big deal?
That was a pretty big deal, depending on who you ask there. And I thought it was interesting because my thing is, listen, I don't know that Amari's struggles are everything to do with the offseason. But I do think that there has been a little bit of grace or a pass extended to Amari that I think runs out pretty quickly. So I asked Albert Spencer whether, basically kind of pointing back to, should we be concerned that some of this points back to the holdout, not being happy with the end of that, and certainly being included in the Ayuk trade talks as well.
There was some frustration for him at the end in Dallas, you know, and so I think you can certainly keep an eye on it. You know, a lot of times you send a veteran player into a contract year, you know, these sorts of things can happen, you know, like where like the player is going to look at it and say, you know, where's the team really at with me? And so I think that all becomes relative to how he plays, right? Like, so if you can get him going and he's playing well, then like everybody wins, right? Like, because then you're getting a good level of production of the player, and the player is setting himself up to get paid. And, you know, whether or not you wind up renewing the relationship, you know, in February or March, you at least have everybody on the same page. If he isn't playing well, that's where you can have a problem, you know. And so I think it's sort of on the coaches to get him going. And yeah, he's not the only one on offense who's been off to a little bit of a funky start. And, you know, I think, like, you know, you look at, like, the trouble the Browns have had pushing the ball down the field, which, again, can relate to their offensive line issue. I think that's just something you're going to have to keep an eye on. And you hope that, you know, he can, you know, get himself out of his rut a little bit and start to play a little bit better. And, you know, then you get again into that, like, everyone wins type of situation.
I think between what Albert said yesterday and the fact that Amari basically admitted it, like, yeah, I've started to treat practices like they're games. I think we can say whether it was an intentional thing or whether he's just a damn human and he was affected by it, that the slow start isn't just about offense being around down around the NFL. It wasn't just about Deshaun having an awful game against Dallas. This is more than just, these things happen and it's two games.
I think that's what stood out to me the most about Amari's comments yesterday, because he tends to be, I mean, we all know this about Amari. He's very much like the put on the professional mask, show up to work with your lunch pail and you know, get down and dirty and play. And I think that's part of why Cleveland fans love him so much. He's very much of that same ilk of Nick Chubb, where you love him because he represents Cleveland. He's that blue-collar guy who's just going to show up, but he's not going to complain. He doesn't say much. He's not the diva, the wide receiver that Odell Beckham Jr. was. He just goes to work. And so he tends to sort of, you know, not give you a lot all the time in press conferences. So on one hand, I was surprised that he was so candid. On the other hand, I was like, this actually does, you know, track for Amari, because he's the kind of guy that would take accountability. And he was basically admitting to us, like, yeah, I maybe haven't been as focused these first couple weeks and I needed to be better about that. But it was just interesting to hear him sort of share that, because given everything he's been surrounded in, he was basically exposing himself to a world of criticism in terms of people being like, oh, so you're kind of checked out, or you've been at least kind of checked out these first couple weeks. And so what does that mean for you the rest of the season? And listen, none of us can get inside his head and know exactly the impact that the trade rumors with San Francisco had, or the fact that he didn't get a full-on contract extension like he wanted has on his psyche. But like you said, we're all human, so we can understand how that might affect us as a person and how it could affect somebody and their performance on the field. I think Amari's going to be okay, but I do think that there's something viable here to Albert's point, that all those things that happened in this offseason, whether or not he's going to admit it publicly or not, it seems like he's got like one foot in, one foot out, at least to start the season. I think he's going to turn it around, but I do think that's kind of what we're seeing from him to this point.
I think I put it this way yesterday. I came into the season watching for signs. Same with the offensive line. All right, there's a lot of uncertainty here. Injuries, new O-line coach. I'm watching this to see. 2 weeks in, I think the O-line is a thing that we can go, okay, suspicion's confirmed.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are with Amari. The difference is, especially at tackle, Amari, especially if we put this to the Browns tackle, Amari has earned a little bit more patience.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
But now that being said, that patience, that grace gets lopped if you cost him a game. Or if it's another specific situational big play where it's a drop, which is not something we associate with you. And I think it was clear going into the Jacksonville game, nobody in the NFL needed a bigger game than Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I think from the Browns' perspective, nobody on the Browns needs a big game, a get-right game, if you will, more than Amari Cooper.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.